You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Jokic behind his back. What a take by Jokic.
That's your sitter.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Pickaxe Pundit Show. I'm your host, Zach Mikosh with DenverStiffs.com. You are listening to the Denver Stiffs Podcast Network. And it is, it is a gloomy Monday, if you're a Nuggets fan at least. That is because the Denver Nuggets are now on a three-game losing streak. It was a tough week all around, and they got another tough week in front of them. To talk all things about it, I am bringing in none other than Mr. Gordon Gross down in Colorado Springs. Gordon, what's happening, buddy?
Not much. Just recovering from the weekend of the Nuggets ruining both my Friday and my Sunday. So right. Other than that, it's fine.
That is it. Yeah, like it. There's just tough losses.
Well, they're close too. Like if it was like a complete blowout, you could get mad about it early and be it done. You're like, they were never in this game. But this whole three-game losing streak has just been like, just get a stop. Just get a stop. Just make that bucket. Oh, no, the other bucket. Yeah, it's been just bad.
Yeah, every time. I mean, they basically come down to the buzzer every single
It's been, what, three games by night. 11 points or something? So, yeah, it's been bad.
Right, yeah, and that Nets game was a little bit of a they extended a little bit there right at the very end. But we're going to talk about it. I want to talk about it's like I said, it was a rough week. I think it was a rough week for the Nuggets overall, which is funny because they started off so great with beating Boston.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray scores 48 points. Up to the point he had scored 48 points, everything was going great for the Nuggets. And then he takes that three-point attempt at the buzzer. Of course,
karma.
He misses it.
Yeah.
Right, and then Kyrie and the whole nonsense of that going on. Then, like a day later, you hear about Nikola Jokic. He gets fined for using the phrase "no homo" during a Chicago Bulls post game press conference. It was weird because that was like 2 weeks ago now. And then after that, there was kind of a whole bristly period or moment before the. What was it before the Brooklyn game, and then of course the Nuggets dropped that game pretty much in somewhat heartbreaking fashion. They then of course follow that up 2 days later, dropping the game against the Milwaukee Bucks in similar fashion. So we're gonna break all that down, and then we'll turn our attention at least towards next week. Maybe there's a chance for things to look up. We'll talk about how the Nuggets got to maybe need to step up on the closing of this homestand. And then we'll close out the show talking about the Pelicans. That's how we'll close out this upcoming week. Make round two against the New Orleans Pelicans, another team who started off hot but has struggled as of late. So I want to get into them and figure out which one of these teams might be real and which one might not. And that'll do the show. So let's not delay any further. Gordon, let's talk about it. Like you said, karma for Jamal Murray and the Denver Nuggets. He takes the shot at the buzzer after an amazing performance. But what was kind of funny is he started out, I mean, he was hitting shots all night long, but he really started out actually kind of struggling as well because it was alternating possessions, right? He either was nailing a three or he was turning the ball over in just really bad turnover. figured that out, and then he carried the team to the win, no doubt about it. He was the reason they won that game, out-dueling Kyrie Irving, who had a pretty big game himself. But of course, then, you know, he takes a shot, he misses it. Kyrie throws the ball in the stands. There's this whole, it like ends up becoming like a 2-3 day long story What do you think? I mean, knowing now in hindsight, looking back at the whole week, is it you look at that now and say, man, maybe that was kind of a distraction that they had, and that really set the tone for this 3-game losing streak?
Potentially. This has been such a strange week. It's just been, when you watch how the Nuggets were playing, they've been doing so much hero ball. You had Murray doing the hero ball. You had Jokic in last game doing the hero ball. The amount of pure Nuggets spread them out and shoot offense hasn't been there, and so guys have been trying to do it on their own. This is not a team built for that, man. It's just not.
Right.
And so when Jokic passes the ball to Murray for that shot at the end of the Celtics game, or at the end of the what game was that where he passed up the? Help me out.
Oh, that was the Memphis game, right?
Right.
You're talking about.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there's times where people are trying to be too unselfish, and you know, Joker passes the ball off. Murray, you just don't have them shooting correctly. They aren't willing to take the shot, or they're trying to do everything themselves. They don't have a middle ground. There is no middle ground. They're either overpassing or they're completely ruining the offense with like one-on-one nonsense. Tonight was actually like a good middle ground. Everybody shot, man. Everybody was shooting fine. Against the Milwaukee Bucks, but just watching this offense struggle and heave and having the wrong players on the court at the wrong times and ball security, and it's just been a really weird mess of a week. Like, everybody woke up on the wrong side of the bed on Monday, and just nothing's gone right since. Like, just those days where nothing goes right. You lose your keys, and then you're late to work, and then you left the stove on, and it's just been that week for the Nuggets, man. I can't even say that one thing snowballed it. Like, maybe it was this fine for Jokic. Maybe it was, I don't know what it was, but nothing has looked like they're in sync for the last 3 games.
Right. Yeah, it's just funny because you're right. It's like a really weird, just a bunch of different things. You know, I mean, I guess you have these weeks, and this has just been a tough one for Denver. And it's funny because it started, like I said, really with Jamal Murray taking that shot at the end of the Celtics games, because then you think about it, what happened. So, all right, so then the next day, well, obviously, so then Kyrie after the game is talking to Mac. Of course, he throws the ball onto the stands.
Right.
Then the next day, he's still talking about it. And they asked Jamal about it, and you think about it, that wasn't even the end of it, because Kyrie throws the ball into the stands, and this story about how this kid ends up getting it, you know, Altitude Radio does like a story on the kid.
Oh yeah.
And then like they're going to trade, and they have a trade like a few games later, right? The Friday game against Brooklyn.
Yep.
For the ball. And it's like all this off the court nonsense, and some of it's good. And like, I'm not saying it was a bad thing what he did with the kid, of course, but it's just like, it's not focusing on what they needed to do on basketball. And so it was just a weird way to start the week with such a high point. But then at the very end of that, it kind of starts this whole distraction mess that lasts for, you know, a whole another 5 days. Right, and that's kind of, that's the downside to it.
Basketball is such an emotional game. Like, if you, when you go out and you play baseball, for instance, you will, or hockey even, you will actually find people tell you that hockey players and baseball players are the two players that don't freak out too much about wins and losses. There's always another game. There's always another way to go. There's, you know, sometimes you just get unlucky. Because they're usually low-scoring games, you know, you most of your shots on goal aren't going to make it, most of your swings aren't going to turn into hits. Like, they're used to failure. So the most even-keeled players tend to be baseball players and hockey players. NBA players are not even-keeled, and they usually try to find emotion to drive the game. Michael Jordan looking for, you know, locker room fuel for guys who said one bad thing about him 5 years ago and he has to go out and ruin them today. Like, that's, they're looking for that sort of energy, that it's a very high-paced game, lots of shots, you know, lots of chances to do it right or to do it poorly.
Right.
And so when you get these other energies involved, when you get this other emotion, when you have Jamal Murray defending himself against should I have shot the ball, and you have Jokic defending himself against something that he said in another language offhandedly that he didn't think was a big deal and is a big deal, you run into these things that are not get up, go to practice, eat right, go to the game, do my shoot around, go shoot, go play ball. You get out of your rhythm. You get out of what it is you need to do to stay on that even keel, especially as a young team. The Nuggets are, what, the second youngest, third youngest team in the league? Like, this is still a very young team, and it hasn't had a lot of fame yet, and it hasn't had a lot of national spotlight yet, and those things are coming. And as they come, when you play the Celtics and it feels like a playoff game, you know, the game against the Bucks felt like a playoff game. You know, you have these regular season games that are just chock full of emotion and energy, and these are the games that aren't just show up on Tuesday night, get cheered by 8,000 fans like they did 2 years ago,
right?
You know, and just go out and do your business, basically like a practice walkthrough in a near empty gym. This is not what Denver has now, and this is the atmosphere they have to get used to. And the bring it every game intensity, and the focus on the details, do sweat the details intensity. And so far, they've been young. They've been young.
Right. Right, yeah, exactly. That's a great point. They're getting new exposure, and they had this great start, 9-1. Everybody's talking about them. They're on, you know, national TV on all the different shows with the pundits, and it's all very new, really, to this entire team, with the exception of maybe a guy like Paul Millsap. You
right,
know, he's really the only vet. Now, of course, Isaiah Thomas as well, but he's not playing out on the court right now. So that. Maybe, and that's kind of, I think, somewhat you can explain the response, I guess, that we've seen. Because, you know, I mean, moving on, obviously, we all know what Jokic said. Let me clarify, from my stance at least, like, I do not at all 100% think that Nikola Jokic is homophobic or was trying to offend people or was trying to do... be offensive to anyone or say anything other than make a dumb joke that just went horribly, horribly wrong. And it went wrong because he, like you said, it probably wasn't, it's not his first language. He in all likelihood did not understand the implications of what he said. And none of that makes it right. Like none of that doesn't make it offensive or make it okay to say or anything like that. But the intent is not there. He gets fined because that's, you have to fine him. You can't not fine him. You've already set a precedent of fining guys before. You fine Roy Hibbert for saying the exact same thing, and you fine him three times as much. Granted, he also dropped an F-bomb on reporters.
Yep.
So there was that went into it. But so you can't. Find one guy, you know, what, 3 seasons ago, or probably more, I think it's like
4,
like 5
was,
or 6
it was
seasons.
It was 4 seasons ago, I think.
4 seasons ago, and then now come back and say, oh, no, like, this is okay because he didn't understand what he's saying. That's not how it works.
Nope.
You know, so...
You find the act, you don't find the intent. I don't care what you were trying to do, I know what you did, and
right.
So we're just finding you for the thing that you said, don't say it again.
Right, it's very black and white.
Right.
I mean... If you say it, you're fine. That's
it makes it easy for the NBA, and it means you don't have to have a special case investigation every time somebody, you know, decides that they're going to say something that should not be said. You just fine them, right. And you understand that the rule is you say that, you get fined.
Right. And then, that's how most contract agreements and that stuff like that work.
Correct. If I'm at work and I drop an F-bomb on the floor... I expect to be called into an office about that. Like, that's just what's going to happen. Right. Those are what you expect from a workplace, and this is a workplace thing. You know, it's not joking around with your friends. And I think sometimes that's where, unfortunately, Jokic makes mistakes, because he's a very funny guy and he likes being a funny guy.
Right.
The more jokes you make, the more likely you are to have the one fall flat. It happened on Saturday Night Live, you know, last week.
Right.
These are things where you say something and you're like, oh, I'll be funny and in the moment, and it's not funny. And if you'd had time to think about it, you wouldn't have said it. So I don't have a problem with the fine. It looks like Jokic is playing more like himself on the court. I don't know how he's feeling about the fine, because he's flat out gave a no comment about it. But I would just like the Nuggets to focus on their on-court stuff after this. This has been a weird off-the-court week with Jokic, or with Murray taking that ill-advised three, which, by the way, yeah, he should definitely not have taken that. But that's just there are unwritten rules, and that happens to be one of them. If you are already beating a team and you have a personal mark you're trying to get, don't chuck up a shot at the end of the clock. Like, just let it go.
When it's over, when they're it's done, over. Like, if they're if, not going to foul
you. If it's within, you know, then, 5 points, you take that shot. If you're going to get, you know, if you need the points to catch up, you take that shot. You know, if you're not, then you don't. If you're going to win the game, you take the victory over the personal mark. That's the team over individual. That's just how it goes.
Right. It's, yeah, you can't. Well, the thing is, though, it was 50.
I know.
You know,
I know.
No, but circling back to Jokic, the thing that disappoints me about the entire situation is not necessarily, I mean, like I said, I don't think there was intent behind what he said, nor am I disappointed about the fact that he got fined. I understand how all that plays out.
Right.
What's disappointing is the reaction afterwards, you know, because you see the press conference and he decides to say no comment, which is a gaffe in itself. You know, it's making a follow-up mistake, because the thing to do is to just come out with a statement, apologize for what you did, say I'll never do that again, that was totally unacceptable, and then you address it right then and there in that press conference. And you're done, and it's over with, and you move on.
No argument. I think that's where his agent let him down a bit. Like, that's the job of your agent, is to put you in a better position. He should have had a statement ready. He should have been told what he should have been able to say. They should have released something. Like, that's just – you want your guys who are looking after your off-the-court business to help you out with those sorts of off-the-court comments.
Right. It's a sort of – it was a really weird – it's just a weird situation for them right after it happens and after the story breaks. And you got – I mean, people are talking about it on radio and stuff. For they don't make a statement, and then he's available at shoot-around, you know, the next day. It's almost the reverse of what you would normally expect to see, right? And you would expect for them to release a statement.
Yes. He could refer back to the statement.
He's not.
Yeah.
Right. And he's saying, hey, he's not going to be available tomorrow.
Right.
Here's his statement on the fine and on what he said. And he's not going to be available. And that would have that would have probably been the best and easiest way to deal with it. Instead, here we are still like talking about it, and I guess now we just move on and we just say, all right, well, okay, you know, I guess that's just that.
I hope this is the only time. First off, that it comes up, and I hope this is also the learning experience for, again, his agent doesn't have anybody who's a $150 million man, like face of a franchise. Like, that guy is Jokic. Like, that's who he is. I would hope that if anything ever comes up like this again, that they are more ready to handle the spotlight, because again, this Nuggets team is not used to the spotlight. They've been under the spotlight for a long time, very under the radar. So I understand there are growing pains, but if this was New York, like, people would be getting demolished over this, and it's not. It's just sleepy Denver, and the Nuggets still aren't the big story here in town. But learn from this, do better. especially if anything like this ever comes up again.
Right. I can't agree more. That's exactly it. I think we spent enough time on it. So I'm gonna stay with the losing streak, though, because it's tough. So of course after this happens, then the Nuggets they lose the game to the Grizzlies. They lose the game to the Nets, and then they follow it up with the Bucks. The Grizzlies game, of course, is the weird one where Jokic takes one shot at the buzzer, which they miss, and then they followed up the Nets game. All right, I don't like to blame games on the refs, and I'm not, because this one was almost there was a lot of bad calls, I thought, both ways. But, like, that was one of, I mean...
It was one of the poorer ref games I've seen in a while.
Right, exactly. It was, and it hurt the Nuggets.
And it hurt them in the last 2 minutes. I mean, if you look at the last 2 minute report, it hurt them a couple of times, again, in the last 2 minutes, where you're like, nope, missed that call, nope, missed that call, nope.
Mm-hmm. I hate those stupid last 2 minute reports, man.
They really make me angry the second day. Like, now you've made me angry by this for 2 days.
Well, it's like, oh, I pushed you down in the dirt. Well, I guess I'll kick you now while you're down there.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it is what it is. I mean, what do you think with the Brooklyn game? Was it another game? They get off to the really, really bad start. They come back and then they it looks like, okay, they got to turn around. They're going to hang on. And then they just completely they break down. I really didn't like, and that was on the last basically on the last play there. Gary Harris really aggressive.
I cannot believe he went for that steal, man. Like, if you go for that steal, you better get that steal. And right. He did not get it. Lost position, allowed a straight line drive to the basket with barely any seconds left. If you're not going to get the steal, you better foul that guy so you have enough time on the other end to get a shot up. Like. Once he's by you, it's over.
It's just...
Just a poor planning. Right. There's been a lot of that recently, is poor late game execution. Poor understanding of what you need to do on this play. And what Gary needed to do was, I understand going for the steal. You know, if you get the steal, then you win. But you live by the sword, die by the sword. Like, they died on that play. Like, that was the play that ended them, because they simply couldn't recover. There was no way... that anyone else could get in front of Caris LeVert before he went and made that shot in the lane. Because you've given up position, because everyone else is spread out, because we all know it's an ISO play, and it's going to be one-on-one, and you've given up position. Once you lose it, you can't recover it. It was for a guy who's a very, very smart basketball player, it was a very silly basketball play.
And the thing I don't, because it's not like, here's the thing, I mean, Caris LeVert he's shooting like, I mean, he's like 33% or so, right, from three-point.
Right.
He's not, he's okay, he's not, he's a little bit below average, but he's not a guy you're game planning for,
right,
on these threes on the last shot. You know he wants to
you
get
know
inside.
He's gonna drive. Yeah.
Yeah, so why are you playing him uptight like that all the way out at the half-court line? It's just... It doesn't make sense to me. Out of all the points in the game, that's the one I look at right there. Was that just like, I don't understand. The funny thing is, and they still almost win it, right? Like Malik Beasley. I don't know if they've ever said it's possible to get a shot off with 0.3 seconds, but it sure looked like he got it off.
Yeah, it looks like he got it off. And you're supposed to be able to get it off with 0.3. I think you have to have 0.3. They asked the refs and made sure that, like, we have enough time to do a shot, right? They said, yeah. He caught it, and he let it go. You know, I mean, now part of that's home court, you know, scorer starts the clock. But,
right.
You know, he got it off. It would have been great if it went in. Like, there's a lot of those shots in the last few games where if it goes in, it's all glorious. Like, the Nuggets are about four shots from, you know, winning the last three games.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's been despite the struggles, they've been able to have it right there in their clutches. They just haven't been able to seal the deal. That was the story in the Milwaukee game as well, right? And again, Gary Harris, like, I It's just so mind-boggling to me for a player, like you said, as smart as he is, to the way he played D that in that Brooklyn game, and then when he decides to foul Chris Middleton with 30 seconds, you're down three.
Yeah, just a
there's complete, 30 seconds left.
Complete breakdown of understanding what's going on in the game. There was no need to foul him. It doesn't help anything. Like, you let them play it out because you know if you get the rebound, you get the ball. Like.
Right.
Just play it out.
You're down three, it's one possession. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Especially because it's not like if it was Giannis, you know, maybe you foul the guy and make
right.
him
run
it from the free
that.
Throw line
yep.
and conserve time, right? But Chris Middleton shoots 87% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
So,
no, Chris is a great player. And honestly, like, I understand that whole last bit there. Paul Millsap should have gotten an and one on his foul, on his play, which would have cut the lead. You know what I mean? Like, there were any number of things that went wrong in that last minute that I'm sure will show up on the last 2 minute report again.
Right.
But it's just the lack of understanding and being in control of the situation at the end of the games has been a little frustrating. The Nuggets are, like I said, a very young team, but they're going to have to start understanding how to do these important moments, these closing moments. They need a steady hand. And unfortunately tonight, there were several plays near the end. The Malik Beasley turnover into...
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it was a Jamal Murray turnover. Like, that, two guys who are not on the same page when you absolutely have to be on the same page about where this pass is going and what's going to happen. And
yep.
and they were not there. Jamal Murray dumping the ball off to Jokic for no reason and having a turnover. Like... passes in tight in close situations, bouncing off people's legs. It's just things you can't be doing late. You can't be giving up those sorts of plays. You need to be crisp, and they've not been crisp. And it's just been essentially a very frustrating experience with young players. I mean, I've talked before that I'm not sure that Jamal Murray is a point guard in the future. That he seems to me to have plateaued in his playmaking ability.
And yeah, he's...
So I'm worried that he's just going to... That as a shooting guard, you cannot be relying on him to run late-game offense when every possession is critical and they're keying on you on every possession and they're working on, you know, stealing the ball from you or making you turn the ball over, and ball security is not his strong suit in those sorts of tight possessions. It's just not what he does. Meanwhile, you have Monte Morris, who's got a 10-1, you know, assist to turnover ratio, and he's sitting on the bench during these times when the Nuggets are busy turning the ball over. They're going to have to figure out how they want to close games and who can take care of the ball, because it's been a problem for the last few games now.
Yeah, they've got so much riding on Jamal being able to be the point guard for them, because that allows them to essentially keep him and Gary Harris.
Yes.
Both of those guys are starters, you know, and then you also got Will Barton, so it's really hard if one of them can't play the point guard position, then it's really hard to see how you keep both of them. And of course, Gary is the guy who's already under contract for quite a bit, so that's going to be something I think to follow this season with them, is because the other thing is Monty Morris has looked really good, and listen, Isaiah Thomas is going to come back at some point, and the expectation is for him to play. Where is he going to play? Also, when Will Barton comes back as well, I mean, where you can't play Monty Morris, Malik Beasley, Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton, and Isaiah Thomas, you can't play all those.
There's
guys.
No lineup you can play them together in. Yeah,
right. So you're gonna have somebody's gonna have to get benched. Probably two of those guys out of that group might end
right.
up losing minutes.
And I don't see how you bench Monty Morris at this point. I really don't.
Yeah, like, I don't either.
He's so critical. When the bench came back, when the Nuggets were down 11, or I think it was 11 to start against the Bucks, you know, to start the fourth quarter, it was either 10 or 11 points, and he led that charge back in just a couple of minutes, you know, crisp
right.
passes, well executed plays, you know, smart. He knows when to take the three, when to drive the hoop, when to pass. He's not the biggest guy, but he's got quick hands. He's got quick feet. So he stays in front of people, even though he's not the biggest guy. He's quite a good player, and it's great that the Nuggets have him, but they're going to have to figure out how to deploy him. You can't bench a guy like that He's got to be in a rotation, so they're going to have some rotation tightening to do and some minutes adjusting to do. Who plays when? Who starts? Who closes? And right now, the Nuggets are having trouble with their closing lineup actually closing, and that's a very strange thing for me to keep watching.
Exactly. I mean, you think about the guy, like, you look at him, you look at Monty Morris, a guy with his, like, per 36 numbers, you know, he, like you said, he's about a 10-1 assist to turnover ratio. He would be at, like, that's a 13-6 guy, you know, I mean, yep. He's just solid. He gives them the steady hand that they need, and allows Jokic to playmake, allows Gary Harris to playmake, allows, you know, when he's on the playing, obviously with the bench, you know, Trey Lyles, I mean, he's got a great connection with Mason Plumlee. He's making everything work, and that bench unit has been absolutely, I mean, once again, every single night, the bench unit has come out every single night, and they've come out to play. You know, it's usually been the starters in the losses. It's been the starters who have fallen short.
Yes.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough decision for Coach Malone to make once some of these players get healthy. Because don't forget, if Michael Porter Jr. gets healthy as well, there's another guy who's going to be playing on the wings and needing, you'd want to give minutes, you know, obviously, if he was able to play. So lots of tough decisions there. All right, I tell you what we'll do. We will go ahead. We will take a break. And as soon as we come back, we will go ahead and we'll turn the page. We will look towards the upcoming into this homestand, this four-game homestand. The Nuggets, of course, still have two more games. They will play Houston on Tuesday. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
We've all been there. When the budget's the tightest or a time is the shortest, that's when disaster strikes. The last thing anyone wants to deal with in these times is an electrical issue in their home or business. Maybe your light suddenly won't turn on, or maybe a home inspector wants that electrical service changed before you can close out on a property you're selling. Heck, maybe it's not even an emergency at all and you're just looking to finish out your basement or get some power ran to that new AC unit. Whatever your need may be, give Sun Electrical a call. They're a family-owned and operated business that serves the Front Range, and you can be assured that you'll not only get the highest quality service, but you'll also get the most affordable price as well. Mike, the owner of Sun Electrical, will come to your home or business personally to evaluate your situation and provide a free estimate. And he stands by the work Sun performs as a fully licensed and insured electrical contractor. So give him a call, 719-659-6888. Don't be fooled by the phone number, as they'll serve the entire Front Range from Colorado Springs to Fort Collins and everywhere in between. That's 719-659-6888. 719-659-6888. Sun Electrical, the home of truly affordable electrical work.
Pundit Show, Zach Mikosh, Gordon Gross. We spent the first half of that show breaking down a rough week for the Denver Nuggets. We're going to turn our focus now towards one of the upcoming games this season, starting with the Houston Rockets.
Apparently, Carmelo Anthony-less Houston Rockets. That's what I'm saying.
That's such a strange thing, too. I mean, it's not unexpected. Like, I mean, that's kind of how Iverson went out, was thinking he needed to be the man as his skills were rapidly declining. And I feel like that's exactly the way that Carmelo's career is going, is that he doesn't realize his own limitations at this point. And he just, right. he's an old dog and he can't adjust to the new NBA. And I worry about, I think his career is coming to a close real quick.
So here's the thing. You know, he's pretty much following Allen Iverson's path, right?
Yeah.
So Iverson, of course, got traded from, he had like his last hurrah, his last good play with the Nuggets, like Melo did with the Knicks. He then got traded from them to the Pistons, like Melo did to the Thunder, played a year, didn't do much. It was very similar. Went to the next team. Iverson, if you remember, went to go play for the Grizzlies. And Melo, of course, goes to the Rockets. And they both barely play any games at all and are gone really early in the season. You know what the next step is, then?
He can't come back.
First
off, his number is not available. His number is not available, so he can't come back.
We'll give him like 7 or whatever. Wait, isn't that Trey Lyles' number? I think so. yeah, that's it. I was just thinking about that. I was like, there it is. That will be the full Iverson story. He's got to come play the rest of the season here in Denver. And then it'll be it'll be finished. It's going to be interesting to see that game now, I guess, against the Rockets. They classically give the Nuggets all kinds of trouble.
Quint Capella, James Harden, Quint Capella specifically. So
yeah, well, he played tonight.
Yeah,
so.
But he said his knee was bugging him, and he might not go in Denver. And so that's my hope.
That bodes really
my
well.
My hope is that he's not there to put down like 27 alley oops over Jokic. That's my hope, because that was the most annoying thing about playing the Rockets last year was Harden drives the paint, Jokic gets in front of him, he throws it right over Jokic, who can't jump high enough, and Capella dunks. Rinse, repeat. Do that about 15 times a game. It was brutal, and I don't want to see that again.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not sure if he goes, what you would do, if you would try and maybe put Millsap over on Capella, of course, then who does that leave? Who's that going to leave Jokic up on? I can't remember who they would play on power forward there. But obviously the other big matchup for them would be James Harden and Gary Harris.
No one who's staying in front of James Harden. Yes. That's the next big matchup. You are correct.
Right. Gary's a guy who's been one of those guys who, I mean, he's not, when we talked about people having a bad week, he was certainly one of them. He struggled at least towards the end of that week with the Brooklyn game specifically. Does it come down to, I mean, do the Nuggets basically, because here's the thing, after that they play Atlanta, right? And if you lose to Atlanta, then you got a lot of problems. So, I mean, Gordon, does it come down to this? Do the Nuggets, like, I mean, do you expect them, they pretty much have to win these two games to get you back into that feel-good moment, and at least you can say, okay, well, at least they salvaged going 500 on the homestand?
Do they need to? Yeah. Are they going to? I don't know. Like, but should they? Yes, that's exactly what I want to see. What I want to see from them is an understanding of what Houston likes to do, because Houston still hasn't been good at doing it yet. And I would especially like to see if Capella doesn't start, or even if he does, like, there's no one who can stop Jokic in this game. Like, get your butt in the paint and go to work. Like,
right.
I mean, it's not even a question. Like, who's going to stop you? Like, what's going to happen in this game? But we need the Nuggets to be aggressive. I don't like it when the Nuggets are, I don't know, they have this read and react thing, and when they are thinking too hard about basketball, they usually do it wrong. They just do. They're young and they need to go do what they do. It'd be nice if they can shoot tomorrow or against Houston, but like, really, I would expect that they should win this game against Houston. That's weird to say, but I've watched Houston games this year. If Houston comes out like that, they should beat Houston.
Right, absolutely. And, I mean, you know, they're going to be a bit banged up. Chris Paul dealing with a little bit of an elbow issue as well, so you've got to take advantage of this game.
Yeah.
You've got to, I mean, you pretty much just, you know what, if Harden's going to score, then you're going to let him score. But if you can't let these other guys, you can't let Chris Paul kill you, you can't let Clint Capella kill you.
That was the same game plan for tonight, for the game against the Bucks, man. Like, The game against the Bucks was give Giannis his 35 points, and then let everybody make sure you don't let anybody else kill you. Well, guess what? Everybody else killed you in this game. Like, you know, because you don't understand that their center can shoot threes, apparently. It's
That was a bit. That was a bit absurd, though.
I know he was hotter, you know, than a volcano on the sun. I get it, but like, you gotta understand KYP. I think that was what Malone was saying after the game. Was he was mad? He felt like his guys didn't watch film on the Bucks. He's like, they played, and I don't think our guys watched it.
Right.
You know, and hopefully they've watched the Rockets. I mean, they've played them enough recently. They should have watched them.
It's very true. They, I mean, they certainly, you know, obviously, like you said, Brook Lopez, I mean, he got unconscious there, which was, it's just silly. This is now another silly game.
The three-point shooting in this whole game was silly all over the place.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Millsap was draining them there for a while. Was hit like a couple in a row. But, I mean, Lopez got ridiculous hot. But it started with them, playing pretty slack defense on him. And once a guy hits a couple and starts seeing him go down, you know, that's how he starts then getting these, you know, those stupid shots that he's hitting from 4 or 5 feet behind the three-point line.
Right.
it's overall, you know, like you said, yeah, they didn't know their personnel against that Bucks game, so they've got to do that against this Rockets team, which is, you know, it's going to be a team who maybe is going to have some relief, knowing now that Carmelo Anthony's not going to, that whole part is not hanging over them anymore. They're a team who you can't expect a guy like Eric Gordon to shoot like he did against the Pacers. You know, he'll probably step up his game and be looking to rebound from that performance. And another kind of guy who could see killing the Nuggets if they don't pay attention to him and let him shoot threes.
Absolutely.
So, they got to bounce back. They got to bounce back one way or another. And because this is a chance to either pretty much keep riding this high or I think make it quickly, quickly a back to, you know, hashtag Nug Life.
Yeah, no, they've got to break the streak. It's done now. Like these are the errors a young team makes. They pulled out a couple of close ones early. They won some early games that gave them a cushion, but they've now expanded the cushion. The team is about at the record that I would have expected them to start the season with. That's fine. Now you got to go win some other games. Like.
Right.
Get it back under control. Good teams don't let sour weeks turn into sour months. So,
yep.
Time to go get it done.
Yep, absolutely. They'll close it out. They'll close out the week against another team who's going through the same thing. New Orleans Pelicans, of course. They were. There was all that talk. That first game with the Nuggets and the Pelicans. Of course, they were both two of the hotter teams in the NBA. Now both of them have cooled off. New Orleans, of course, is...
Well, New Orleans got cooled off because, you know, their star player got injured.
Right.
So that cools anybody off, really.
I was going to say New Orleans, of course, dealing with some injuries. But Davis says, I mean, he's been back now, and they've won two in a row. They just had that New Orleans had this just ridiculous six-game losing streak in there. I guess now who do you think... Gordon is more likely to bounce back, and is it New Orleans now? They're. I mean, they have won two in a row, whereas the Nuggets are still in the downswing. But are you worried? I guess about trying to bounce back against a team like New Orleans, who is also trying to get back on the upswing.
Well, currently I worry about every team in the NBA because it looks like, I mean, the Nuggets made the Nets look like the second best team in the East. So
right.
I don't know what the Nuggets are going to put together. The Nuggets are an amazingly talented team, but if they're not focused, it makes it really hard to understand what they're going to do possession to possession. So yeah, I mean, I worry about the Pelicans. They're a talented enough team that they can cause Denver trouble. Like, I worry about the Rockets. I don't worry about the Hawks yet, but I'm sure the Nuggets will make me try.
The Hawks, exactly. They could make the Nuggets look silly, right? Could Trae Young score like 30 points?
Oh, yeah.
on drop 30 on Denver? Yeah, absolutely. You know, that just seems like something that could definitely happen. But we said that all last week and this team came back and, you know, and made play after play, or I guess now 2 weeks ago, and won game and you know, and grinded out the wins and found a way to win it. We're seeing this, the vulnerability, right? Because they didn't grind out that win against the Grizzlies because Jokic didn't hit that three
right
at the buzzer. They didn't. Malik Beasley didn't hit the three at the buzzer to beat Brooklyn. And then of course, they lose the game down the stretch to Milwaukee when it looked like they had it. Suddenly, it's looking a lot like it did last season, right? Where they're having – they got clunky offense. Uh-huh. Jokic is doing weird things where he's going one game. He's not shooting. He takes one shot. The next game, he has like 37 points and 21 rebounds, you know. I mean, it's just very reminiscent of how they started out last season, and you hope that they don't, like you said, they don't let it spiral into an entire month's worth of poor play.
Well, and you know, Malone talks a lot about know your personnel. Everybody does. Like, KYP is standard sports speak. Honestly, at times, I think you need to know yourself. Who are you? What do you do? Don't worry about them. What do you do? Go do what you do. And, you know, what the Nuggets do is not clunky, weird, iso ball in the half court. That's not their game. And I understand that teams are shutting off, you know, back cuts and stuff, and I understand that teams are much more aware of how great a passer Jokic is. But even in this game against the Bucks, you could watch people just standing around the outside. Nobody's cutting. Movement's not there. You know, I don't know if they're tired from playing defense, which is possible. But it concerns me, you know, that they had to shoot 50% from three, basically, to stay in this game with the Bucks. That's not their offense. I mean, it's great when they can hit those. Those threes should be open, and they should be hitting more of them. But their offense is not, you know, set three-point records with all of our great outside shooters. Their offense is get the right shot, the open shot, and take it. And right now they're not really doing that. Against the Bucks in that game, Jokic didn't get very many rebounds because he was out past the 3-point line on Lopez the whole time, which is fine. But then you should be able to get a rebound and throw it ahead. Like, you know, you have a 7-foot guy standing out there who can catch a ball and then make some offense happen. But they weren't running the court that way. It's very odd to me that every year the Nuggets go in and they can't remember what offense they run for a couple of months. Like, I understand it when Jokic was, you know, some guy who's supposed to be your bench center and then becomes your star. And I understand it when Millsap, you know, comes in and, you know, you're trying to adjust the offense to him and nobody knows how this is really going to work. But none of that happened this year. Like, this offseason was supposed to be the offseason where Denver's actual offense is the offense they run the whole season. Instead of just like, you know, December 15th on. But it still looks like they're struggling to find their offense and find their identity because they spent so much of their time working on their defense.
Yep, absolutely. It's 100% right. And that's why I think we're seeing these crazy up and down waves, like I said, with from guys like Jokic. I mean, now Millsap, you know, against the Bucks, he was lights out, but he's been at the beginning of the season, he couldn't buy a basket. Let me ask you this, I guess, to close out the show. Now we see the change in at small forward from Torrey Craig to Juancho Hernangómez. That seemed to work a little bit better. But on the other side, I mean, they gave up 121 points to the Bucks.
Yeah, so, but again, you're talking about a team that I don't remember what the Bucks shot from three, but it was something around 50%. It was ridiculous. Like, it was ridiculous. There are shots that are being made where there are just games where you just try to keep up. And the Nuggets just had a game where they had to keep up. If they had been playing Torrey Craig, they would have gotten blown out by 20. It wasn't defense that was letting them down necessarily. That sometimes your opponent just can't miss. And I mean, the other guys get paid too. That's one of those things that I hate. I know why coaches do it. When they talk about how any shot that the other person makes is a problem with your defense, sometimes you just tip your cap, and the Bucks were out there just throwing it in from everywhere on the court. It was beautiful, but annoying, but beautiful. But really, Torrey Craig got a DNP in that game. And I don't know that he needed to have a DNP. They could have used him on somebody like Chris Middleton. But again, these are those issues where Malone is not known as a adroit substitutor. He'll let things roll a little longer than he should. He'll forget that he has guys on his bench that he has. He'll forget who's been playing. He gets caught up in the moment, and that's not bad necessarily. But I don't expect amazing substitutions and, you know, preternatural understanding of who's hot today and who's not to be a part of his coaching strategy. That's not his game. He preps his guys before the game. So I'm glad that Wancho got in the game and started. I'm glad that Wiles played like Wiles is supposed to play. Those are players that they need. And I would like Torrey Craig to be a situational defender if Malone wants to expand his rotation to include situational defenders. You know, but in this game, when the other team's shooting lights out, you have two options. One is, well, let's shut them down on defense, put in my defenders. And one is, leave Malik Beasley and others on the floor to keep spreading the offense so we can keep up. And he went with option two, and I think option two was the right call.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, you just,
Even from the bench, you have to
find balance.
But because, like, you know, the bench came back with that run in the fourth. If he'd put Torrey Craig in there and with the bench in the fourth, maybe that run doesn't happen. You needed your scorers out there. The Nuggets were not protecting a lead. So you can throw defense out there to protect the lead, but I don't think you should be throwing defense out there in a stalemate. Not if you're not a defensive team. So I think for them the right move was starting Wancho, and then as they could not get that lead and they didn't have anybody, they had to keep scoring because one defender does not a defense make. I was glad to see that they left their scorers in to try to keep up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the you got to find obviously some balance there between your offense and defense. But I like the way that Wancho looked, and I like that, you know, Torrey Craig gets the DMP, but that Monty Morris ends up being the guy with the most minutes off your bench, which I think is exactly. That's a good thing. That's and he played once again, had another great game. Monty's been playing well. He only scores 5 points, but he gets 10 assists off the bench for the team, 0 turnovers. So it's giving him more opportunity to play the game because now Wancho's playing in the starters, and Craig's not. They're back to a 9-man instead of a 10-man rotation.
Right.
It's worked out well for them.
It should work better. I like that better.
That's much, much better way of putting it. I think we should probably just call it a show on that note. Make sure you guys are following us out on Twitter. I'm at Zach Mikosh. Gordon is at GMoneyNugs. Of course, at Denver Stiffs. And over on Instagram at The Denver Stiffs. Also on Facebook, give us a follow and a like. And on YouTube. Now we have a YouTube channel. If you guys ever want to see these press conferences, if you want to see, you know, Jokic's now infamous one words press conference, you can find all that stuff on our YouTube channel, plus some cool other content out there that you probably sometimes can't even find on the site because you know, we like to make funny videos, but they sometimes get frowned on by corporate overlords. So, all that to say, make sure you're checking us out on YouTube. Subscribe to that channel as well. And on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you guys are listening to the podcast. We did finally merge the old Pickaxe Pundit show and the new network together. So, if you were following that show before, that's fine. You should now be getting all the new episodes, including the, you know, the Dig, Nuggets Numbers, and Full Court Press, all those shows going on as well. So make sure you're checking all that stuff out. All right, Mr. Gordon Gross, I appreciate it, sir.
Of course, no problem. And again, as I've said before, no one's still listening at this point, but the Nuggets are a very talented team. They will get it together. Their record is fine right now. Calm down, Nuggets universe. Just expect them to go ahead and learn from this past week, because, wow, is there a lot of film to learn from.
Stop typing hot fire into the comment section.
Yeah, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Don't melt down the stiffs. That's all I'm asking.
Just go cool off. You know, go have a popsicle. Come back.
It's a long season, everybody. Everything's fine.
We'll talk it out. All right, everybody. We will talk to you next week.